Proverbs 14, we're going to be looking at verse number 34. Proverbs 14, verse 34. It says, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. When a person dives off of a diving board into a pool, they rapidly descend from the high diving board and plunge deep into the pool of water. And in a very similar sense, our nation and much of the world has plunged into the depths of sin rapidly in the last 10, 20 years. It's phenomenal, the things that have changed in the last 10 or 20 years, and how our world is plunging into sin. And as I thought on that, and as I read through this verse a few weeks back and began meditating upon it, I thought, you know, we need to just take a look at what God says here. He says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. As we look at this tonight, I want us to notice, first of all, how righteousness exalts and how sin reproaches, and then what can we do about it? So we're looking at three different aspects. First of all, righteousness. As we think about righteousness, we ask ourselves a very important question. What is righteousness? You know, we can't really talk about righteousness exalting a nation until we know what righteousness is in our own minds. What is righteousness? Righteousness is literally doing what is right. But it's not doing what is right in our own eyes, because the world around us, they may say, well, I'm doing what's right in my eyes, and you do what's right in your eyes, and everybody does what's right in their own eyes, and everybody does whatever they want. And that's a relative thinking. That's certainly not what is righteous. Now, sometimes even governmental laws aren't righteous. You know, they pass laws saying it's okay to kill babies and it's okay to do these various kind of things and that are against what God says. That's not righteous. Even though it may be legal, it isn't righteous. So we can't say that righteousness is just obeying the laws of the land. But righteousness goes far beyond that. Righteousness really comes back to God and what God says. God is the absolute of righteousness, and I think we all know that, and we would all agree with that. But as we think about that, righteousness is an absolute. It is not a relative, it is an absolute. So righteousness is that which is perfectly straight. You know, as a carpenter, we used to use rulers and measures, and I brought my little tiny ruler here. But these are a means of measuring right and what is correct. If my boss told me to cut it off at 15 mil, you know, I'd look at that and I'd measure it exactly, and that's the standard. That is the right. And if we were talking about something in a straight, we would put a straight edge up against it and say, you know, that is straight and this is, it needs to be straight like it. And so there has to be a standard for what is right. And God gives us that standard of right in His Word. And righteousness literally is that which is right in the eyes of God. Because God is the absolute sovereign of all things and creator of all things. He is the one who makes the straight rule that we must measure everything else by. And so God is able to say, this is straight, everything else is crooked, and you need to line up with my straightness in order for you to be righteous. And it's important for us to see that. You know, in the scriptures, we first find God mentioning a rule or guide to know what is right and straight back in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, where God told them, He says, thou mayest eat of this fruit, but thou mayest not eat of this fruit. So He made them very clear. He says, you can't eat this, you can't eat that. So God made a rule there and said, this is right, this is wrong. And we read over in the book of Amos. Amos loved to give illustrations. And Amos illustrated righteousness and by a plumb line. Some of you may not know what a plumb line is. A plumb line is a string that has a heavy weight on the bottom, usually a pointed weight. And they would hold that line over the edge of the wall. And as they would hold it over the edge of the wall, if the wall didn't line up straight with the plumb line, the wall was crooked. The line was straight. And they'd have to readjust the wall to get it straight. And he talks about a bowing wall. And a bowing wall is one that's not lined up straight. It's leaning out or it's leaning in. And those kind of walls were dangerous because in time they would tip over. And so they need to make sure the wall was straight. And righteousness, God says, is lines up straight with the plumb line. And it was right. The standard for all right living comes then from God. God is our standard. God is the one that says, this is what is right. And so anytime in our lives, no matter what it is that we're talking about in our lives, if we want to know, is this right or is this wrong, the place to go to find out is in the Scriptures. We need to ask God, what did you say about right and wrong? Is this right? Is this wrong? What can I do? And you know, through the Scriptures, we got basically two different things that we can find in the Scripture that will help us. Number one are the statements God makes. You know, a definite command. Sometimes they're called statutes, sometimes they're commands, but they're declarative statements that God makes that says, this is right, this is wrong. Other times, we find right and wrong through the principles of the Bible. And many of the principles we find there that are guidelines, you can see how God responded to this situation. And therefore, it lets us know the right way to respond to that kind of a situation. And so, we can learn from principles in the Word of God as well that can be of help to us. Now, as we think on this, the through God's straight righteousness is the rule that we must follow. And no human can flawlessly live a righteous life. It's not possible for us. Over there in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse number 20, we read there that we cannot reach that level. It says, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We all miss the mark, and we have a problem. And the human righteousness is to be truly, if it's for human righteousness to truly be righteous, it must be imputed by God. Now, imputed righteousness is righteousness that we get from God. God gives it to us at salvation. And that's where righteousness, true righteousness comes from, is through salvation. We read over in Romans chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, it says, for to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth in him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted or imputed for righteousness. Alright, so God gives us righteousness through faith in Christ. We'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. Now, national righteousness always begins on a personal level. Alright, so we've kind of established what is righteousness. And righteousness is what is right in God's sight, not in what's man thinks about it. It's what God said about it. It makes it right or wrong. But righteousness on a national level always begins on a personal level. And that's because a nation is made up of people. And every nation made up of people is only going to be as righteous as its leaders, the human leaders. And you know that goes down the ladder as well. Every home is only going to be as righteous as the leadership of the home, the father and the mother. And every, your own life even is only as righteous as your heart. You know, if our heart is not righteous, our life is not going to be righteous. And so righteousness is something we need to take seriously on a personal level. There needs to be righteousness deep down in our heart. And of course, that begins at salvation. And the having God's righteousness imputed in our lives at salvation is where it all begins. Over in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 9, we read, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, now Paul's talking here, which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Alright, so he says here that we need God's righteousness, and it needs to be applied to us. It comes through the blood of Christ. I can't make myself righteous, but God, through his great mercy and his great plan of salvation, paid the debt on the cross and applies the blood of Christ to our lives, washes us clean, and gives us his righteousness. And so he enables us then to be declared righteous. And then God thus enables us to live righteous lives. You know, it wouldn't be great if living a righteous life was just automatic once you got saved and you just lived a great, you know, you lived a perfect little life and never sinned anymore. That would be amazing, but that's not what God allowed. And he says here that we need to work at living righteous. Over there in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 22, he says, flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. He said, we got to flee the things that are wrong, but follow righteousness. So it is our obligation to strive to that end, to follow the righteousness. And we get the righteousness of God, or we learn the instruction of righteousness, again, through the Scriptures. And so it is very important that we spend quality time in the Bible every day. You know, I wish that there was a way that I could just guarantee and make sure that everybody that comes to our church spends quality time in the Bible every day. I'm not foolish enough to believe that that always happens. Because it takes effort, it takes work. But I challenge you here tonight to make sure that you spend quality time in the Bible every day, because that is what will feed your soul, that is what will strengthen you. And we read over there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse number 16, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So it is all that we need to instruct us and teach us and help us and build us to become what God wants us to be. But it's in the Word of God. So we need that time daily in the Scriptures. Now, God ordained that through chastening, it would cultivate righteousness in our lives. You know, none of us enjoy chastening. You'll never find a child who grows up in a home where they have biblical discipline and the kid says, oh good, it's my turn, I'm ready, I'm excited. No, it's never fun. And God tells us that over in Hebrews chapter 11, or 12, verse number 11. It says, now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous. And we'd all agree with that. But grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. God's saying, even though it's not fun to be chastened when we do wrong, it brings us to righteousness. It helps us to do what is right. And that is the goal of chastening, is to bring us to the place where we'll change and do what is right, because it'll help us in the end. And so God encourages that, and God himself will chasten us when we do wrong to bring us to that. And then also, in the same vein here, not only does God chasten us to, when we do wrong, to get us to do right, but God has also provided 1 John 1:9 to enable us to confess our sins, that he might be able to reinstall or restore our righteousness once again. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if he takes away all the unrighteousness, we're left with righteousness. And so that is a wonderful plan that God has divined so that we can live a righteous life. But, you know, no nation can be righteous without righteous people. And we are part of our nation, and we're part of our family, and we're part of our community, and we're part of our church. And we need to have a righteous life ourselves in order to have a righteous influence on those that are around us. Now, national righteousness always exalts a nation. God says it here. Righteousness exalts a nation. And you think about that. Our nation will not be blessed because of its military might or because of its strong economy. But God will bless Australia as the nation remains righteous in his sight. That's what God said. Righteousness exalts a nation. God didn't say strong military exalts a nation. He didn't say that any other quality of the nation will exalt it. He said righteousness will exalt the nation. And God can bless our nation as long as she upholds biblical morality, biblical gender distinction, and sanctity of life, and freedom of religion and freedom of speech, as the Bible proclaims. And we need to pray for our nation, because that is what is going to hold our nation strong. And remember, it all hinges on us as individuals, because the nation's only as strong as its people. So we need to have a powerful influence in that. And it's important for us to remember that. I remember as a boy on the farm, one of the things that we would often use is a big, heavy steel log chain. I mean, it was a big chain, big, you know, great big log chain, heavy. You're trying to carry that thing was a job. But we would use it for pulling tractors or pulling logs or pulling things that were stuck, and we'd hook the tractor on it and give it a good hard pull, and it was strong. But you know, that chain is only as strong as its weakest link. If it's got one weak link in it, that weak link will break first. And that is true with our home, that is true with our nation, that is true with our community, that is true in every group like that. We're only as strong as the weakest link. And so we need to make sure that we are not a weak link in the chain. We need to be strong in our righteousness and living godly in a right way that would please the Lord. Now, so righteousness exalts a nation. But he says there, secondly, that sin is a reproach to any nation. Sin is the opposite of righteousness, all right? Righteousness is what is right in God's sight. Sin, of course, is that which is wrong in God's sight. And while righteousness is straight, sin is crooked. You know, you hold God's straightness up there and say, oh, you know, no way, that's not straight, that's crooked. And, you know, one of the things that's special, the more that we are walking close to God and walking close to His straightness and trying our best to live a straight and godly life, the easier it is to see what is crooked. And that is true in every type of an occupation. As you get proficient in it, you can see the faults easily that don't match up because you are more proficient at it. And it's important for us to keep that in mind. I know as a growing up as a young man, my dad taught me carpentry work. My dad was one of these perfectionists. I mean, it had to be right. It had to be straight. I remember one time we were building a chicken coop, and it was just a little, you know, about a 5 mil out of square. Dad says, oh, I don't know. Maybe we have to pull this, take this around and fix this. I said, Dad, it's a chicken coop. It's okay. But I mean, he was a perfectionist. He wanted it right. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you know, then I went into carpentry and worked for a carpenter for several years. And in my teen years and on and through college, I was working as a carpenter. And as a result, I've picked up an eye for looking straight. And even to this day, I'm driving on the street and I see somebody's letterbox that's leaning just a little bit. And nobody else would maybe even notice it. But me, it just drives me crazy. That thing's crooked. Straighten your letterbox. But it's all because of what we get used to. And some of you are very proficient at other things. You know, if it was something in knitting, you could ask Inika in here, and she would spot something and say, oh, I didn't even see that. But she'd spot it. Why? Because she's proficient at it. And so every one of us has something, skills that we are good at, and we'll be able to spot what is right and what is wrong. God wants us to be proficient at righteousness. Not so we're going around picking on other people's unrighteousness and say, oh, they're not as good as me. But we know what is right and what is wrong so that we can avoid the things that are wrong because we are careful to observe what is right in our own lives. But sin is that which is crooked, it's twisted, it's bent, it's bowing. It misses God's righteous mark. Literally, the word sin means to miss the mark. If you've ever shot a bow and arrow and you got the bullseye down at the other end, you pull the bow and arrow back and, you know, sometimes when you're new at it, you miss the whole target. And you've not only missed the mark, but you missed the target. But, you know, as you get better at it, and you can hit the bullseye and hit the mark. And that's really what God is saying. Sin is missing the mark. Even if we miss it a little bit, we miss the mark. And God wants us to be righteous and to hit the mark. But that takes effort and it takes God's help. And we need God's strength to be able to do what is right. And remember that God is the absolute standard for what is right, so therefore God is the standard of what is wrong as well. He says, this is wrong because it doesn't meet up with my right. And so it is not a relative term. You know, sin is not something that's relative and just, well, if you think that's wrong, okay, but I don't think it's wrong, so it's okay with me and it's not okay with you. No, it's either right or it's wrong, and God determines what is right and wrong. Sin begins also in the heart. It's important for us to remember that. That's where sin begins. It begins right there in the heart. And we see there in Matthew chapter 15, verse number 19, where it talks about our heart is deceitful. Our heart is not the deceitful one. That's from Jeremiah. But in Matthew there, he says there, for out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemies. So it's the heart that is the source of what is right and what is wrong. Now, national sin always begins at a personal level as well. Just like righteousness begins at a personal level, so does national sin. If our nation is going to crumble and fall into sin, it starts at a personal level. It is those leaders that are leading it astray and the leaders that no longer stand for what is right and true and straight and they accept something that's crooked and they're going to accept that, then they're going to lead the nation that direction as well. But it all begins back on a personal level, on a one-on-one level in our own hearts. And we need to make sure that we set a good example. We need to ask ourselves, you know, is some sin crept into your life that is keeping you from being righteous like God wants us to be? You know, we need to ask ourselves that on a regular basis. Is there anything in my life, Lord, that is keeping me from being as righteous as you want me to be? Is there something standing between me and you? You know, we think of that song that we sing, and we're going to sing it at the end here today, Nothing Between My Soul and the Savior. Is there anything between me and you that is keeping me from being righteous? You know, when sinful people lead the nation, the nation is going to go the wrong direction. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 2, we read, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. And that is true in every nation. You look at nations that are hurting and crumbling and having trouble and heartache and troubles, it's not because they've got a righteous leader. It's because they've got somebody that is corrupt and trying to do things their own way. And it leads the nation the wrong way. You know, the devil is using the television and media to corrupt the thinking and morals of individuals. And those individuals then are elected as leaders, and their corrupt thinking then corrupts the morals of their morals, and then the morals of the nation, and the leaders then turn their backs on God and biblical righteousness, and it just snowballs into a disaster that keeps getting worse and worse because it all starts at a personal level. And we find that some of the clearest examples of this truth are found in the book of Judges. You look back in the book of Judges, and again we see that, of how they were doing right for a little while, and then they start doing wrong, and a little bit more, and a little bit more, and then it all ends up, and they fall into a heap, and God judges them, and they have to start all over and do it all over again. And God chastened them and brought them back, and it went into all those cycles again and again and again. You know, one of the shortest verses in the Bible, God wrote for a memorial to this very truth. That verse is found in Luke 17. In verse number 32, remember Lot's wife. What a verse. Remember Lot's wife. What happened to Lot's wife? She turned into a pillar of salt. Why? Because she disobeyed God. She didn't do what was right. She loved the unrighteousness of Sodom more than she loved God. And she became a pillar of salt. As our nation turns from righteousness and turns against God and justifies sins and accepts abortion and homosexuality and criminalizes those who speak out against these sins, sin will reign. And sin will increase. And sin will harm our nation. National sins always bring reproach and shame on the nation. And God has told us that. He says right here in the verse, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Israel once was a righteous nation. Today, she's rejected God. Britain was once a righteous nation. Today, it is a reproach to God. America was once a righteous nation. Today, it is a reproach to God. And Australia once followed righteous principles, but today is becoming a reproach to God. Our nations are crumbling. Our world is declining. And God said that it'll become a reproach as we turn from righteousness and follow sin. But what can we do about it? You know, sometimes we feel like, well, I'm just a one person. What can I do? How can I help my nation? What can I do? Well, the most important thing we can do is make sure that we are righteous ourselves. And that starts with our salvation. And I think all of us here tonight have put our faith in Jesus Christ. But you know, there may be some listening that have not done that, have not received the righteousness of God through salvation. And that's where it all begins. We read in Romans chapter 4 and verse number 5, Paul writes, but to him that worketh not, but believeth in him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. It is believing on Christ, putting our faith in him, that enables God to make us righteous. And we cannot hope to live a righteous life without the righteousness of Christ living in us. We can't. We are not capable. We are sinful people. And we will not be what we ought to be without Christ. So it has to start there. But then, you know, once we know Christ, then is when we need to seek to live God's righteous way. you know, not like a Pharisee. It's, our goal isn't to be Pharisees and I'm better than you, and we all get together and say, you know, how good have you been this week, and I've been better than you, and I've been really straight today. Boy, I've been really kind of trying to make it right, straight, just exactly. And, you know, God doesn't want us to be strive to be Pharisees. He wants us to strive to be saints. He says we are to live as becometh saints. And the saints are those that are righteous or holy before God. Sin and righteousness are opposites. We know that. And we must flee the one and pursue the other. We saw that in 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, wisdom, the calling of the Lord out of a pure heart. So there has to be leaving one, fleeing one, and pursuing the other. And living a righteous life demands that we separate from all that is not straight. And that's hard. And sometimes it means breaking friendships. Sometimes it means disappointing people that want to have a companionship with us or something, or doing something or going someplace and say, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that. And we don't have to stand out and say, no, I'm a Pharisee and you're a sinner and I'm not going to do that because I don't do that. But we still have to take a stand. We still have to do what's right. And it's hard sometimes to take a stand and do what is right when it offends others that don't see it that way. But living right and doing what is right requires that. You know, you think back of different Bible characters that had to take a stand. Elijah took a stand against what was wrong. Moses had to take a stand when the people did wrong. And every godly leader in the Bible had to take a stand when others were trying to get them to do wrong, or others were going the wrong direction, and they say, no, we're not going to do that. Even as Brother Sean preached the other day from Joshua. Now Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I don't care about you. I mean, I do care about you, but you got to make your own decision. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And it's important for us to take a stand and do what is right, even though it is not easy. And though we still live in this world, we are not to live like this world. What activities in your life do you need to change or eliminate in order to live by God's righteous standard? It's important for us to evaluate that. Are there things that I need to change in order to be able to live by God's righteous standard? There's a fine line between the Pharisee and the saint. Striving to live a holy life without becoming a Pharisee about it and thinking we're better than other people. You know, it is not a matter of, and this I think will help us, it's not a matter of I'm better than all these people, so therefore I guess I'm doing okay. It's how do I match up with what God has? How does my life match up with God? It really doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. I'm not worried. You know, that's not my business. My business is how do I line up with God's righteousness? Am I straight with what God wants? Am I doing what God wants me to do? And if we would just focus on what does God want me to do instead of how do I compare to somebody else, then we will be able to live more righteous the way the Lord wants us to, and to be able to separate from those evils that God doesn't want us to get involved in. So there is an active part in this. But another thing that we can do to help our nation is to pray. You know, we need to pray for our nation and its leaders. If we are truly right with God, we can pray, and we need to pray. You know, there's a temptation to feel like, what's the use? You know, the nation's so going the wrong way and I can't do anything about it. But we can pray, and God can do a work in hearts. God can do a changing work. And there's been revivals in the past where nations have turned. You know, you think about some of the great revivals that have happened in the past. You think, how did that happen? And you know, we might think, well, you know, they weren't as bad as they are today. Some of them were terrible. And some of them, they had revivals that swept through towns and cities and villages, and drunks and wild people and wicked people repented of their sins and turned to Christ, and their lives were transformed and changed. How did that happen? It always started with somebody praying. And you know, one of the things that we can do, and we should do, is we need to band together and say we need to earnestly pray. Pray for revival in our own hearts. Pray for revival in our church. Pray for revival in our community and our nation. And, you know, if we began to pray, God can do great things. And I say we, I mean me. I need to pray more. But we need to really be praying, God, make us more righteous. Send us revival. Show us where our sin is. And every revival began through prayer and also through repentance and people getting right with God. And when people would get right with God, it would spread and God would bless. We need to pray. We need to pray. And may God have mercy on our nation as we pray for them. Pray for the leaders of our nation. Pray for them to have courage to stand up and do what is right. You know, that is not easy. You know, sometimes we think, why did they make such a silly law? Why did they do that? You know, if we were in those situations where you got to stand up against people that don't like it and say, listen, this is right, this is wrong, and they're going to attack you. There's a lot of people, I think our world has got to the point where many good people that are in politics are afraid to vote righteously, because of the persecution they'll face, the hate mail they'll get, the attacks they'll get. Because if I vote this way and everybody knows that, look what's going to happen. And so they cower down and don't do it because they're afraid. And we need to pray that God would give them courage. It's not easy to stand up. And it's not easy even in our own lives to vote right. You know, when it comes time to vote, we need to vote right instead of just vote what everybody else votes. But we need to vote the best we can in a right way. So while the truths we have examined this evening apply on a national level, they also apply on an individual level. And as we said, this chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And let's make sure that we're not one of the weak links. We need to be one of the stronger links of that chain that will stand strong. And that is true in our home. Be a strong link in your home for righteousness. And in our community, in our church, and then ultimately in our nation. That we'll be standing strong and being a good leader and then praying for our nation. Not only will righteousness exalt our nation, but it'll also exalt our personal lives and our families and our testimonies and our community if we'll live righteous. So let's seek to live righteous lives. Not good in my sight, not good in somebody else's sight, but good in God's sight. It's God's straight line of truth. And we say, I want to live by God's righteousness. I want to do what is right and straight in God's eyes. And seek to do that and ask God for help to do that.